We are past 3:30, so we'll move on to the last item of the day, 696.
Establish a priorities framework for the City of Portland Smart City PDX initiative.
Colleagues, everywhere we look, technology is rapidly changing the ways we live, the way we work, and the ways we get around our city. But the direction of that change is not inevitable. We have an active role to play in determining how technology is used and how data is collected and shared in our city. As we work to create a smarter and more equitable city, we must start by You know, Dan would not have hung up on Bill Shonley. Get the mayor back in here. So as we work to create a smarter and more equitable city, we must start by listening to the people of Portland and assessing new technologies and partnerships alongside our values. If we don't, we risk technology happening to us rather than working for us. To accomplish this goal, we must prioritize data and technology investments that address inequities and disparities for people that have been left behind in our city, specifically people of color and people with disabilities. At the same time, we have an obligation to ensure that privacy is protected and rights are respected. This resolution established the city's commitment to the Smart Cities PDX Priorities Framework, a structured process for evaluating new technologies, uses of information, and related partnerships to ensure that they promote equity, address inequities and disparities in our city, and provide tangible benefits to the people of Portland. This process will allow the city to design solutions that work for the most marginalized communities, ultimately providing benefits for all communities. The Smart City PDX Initiative Priorities Framework is just the first step in achieving that goal. City staff must engage with the community to further develop the strategies to implement and uphold these commitments. Over the past several years, much of the national conversation around smart cities is focused on how government must shift the way that we think, operate, and plan in order to adapt to changes in the data and technology that leverage them for the public good. The very same lessons apply to addressing disparities in our community. The Smart Cities PDX Initiative seeks to bring these ideas together by establishing the Smart Cities PDX Priorities Framework with this resolution. And with that, I will turn it over to staff. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, City Council. It's great to be here. I'm Kevin Martin. I lead the Smart City PDX Initiative for the city out of the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. Joined here with our partners from Office of Equity and Human Rights, the Office of for Community Technology, and the Bureau of Technology Services, and our friends from Multnomah County. So, Bill's a tough act to follow, but we'll try to move through this quickly and keep you entertained here. We are very excited to be here to present the Smart City PDX Priorities Framework Resolution. We feel strongly that this will really establish Portland as a national smart cities leader. We see this as a culmination of a week of Smart Cities activities here in Portland. We had a traffic safety sensor ribbon cutting on Monday that the mayor took part in. We had a U.S. Ignite big data workshop here on Tuesday that a number of folks from around the region took part in cities across the country. We had the Global Tech Jam conference that's here through tomorrow that the mayor and I both spoke at this morning. And really, in our opinion, this is the most important thing that we will do this week, as this frames our approach to all of this work going forward and really instills the values that we have as a city in that work. When the Smart City Steering Committee was established back in May of 2017 by City Council, you all directed us to set priorities, identify focus areas, and establish goals for the city's Smart Cities work. This included a clearer definition of what we mean when we say underserved and underrepresented communities. The priorities framework resolution in front of you is a response to both of those directives. Every day, new technology are emerging that offer amazing potential to transform our cities. But cities aren't built for gadgets and sensors. They're built for people. The Smart Cities PDX Priorities Framework will guide the city's use of new technology to reduce inequities and disparities for people who've been left behind, specifically people of color and people with disabilities, and not just for today, but for the Portland communities of tomorrow. Mayor Wheeler, your outgoing Chief of Staff, Maurice Henderson, framed this commitment with our 2016 U.S. Department of Transportation Smart Cities Challenge proposal. The first paragraph of that proposal stated, "The core issues facing Portland are not unique. We need to improve safety, enhance mobility, address climate change, and create opportunity for all residents. The challenge is to address these issues in a way that ensures equity is at the center of this paradigm shift. This framework is our answer to that challenge." And it's not an end, it's a beginning. Adopting this framework kicks off a conversation with the community about the problems we should focus on and what technology and data tools we will use to solve them. It starts by building trust. We will approach the community with humility from a perspective that we do not have all the answers, that we want to empower them to help us find solutions. It also recognizes that we had to develop an internal strategy as a united city before engaging in those conversations. It's truly been a citywide silo-busting conversation. This framework is a product of our Smart City Steering Committee, involving 14 different bureaus and all five commissioners' offices. And the resolution itself and the framework itself was created in partnership with Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, Office for Community Technology, Office of Equity and Human Rights, Portland Bureau of Transportation, Bureau of Technology Services, Commissioner Fritz's office, and the Mayor's office. So this is really a cross-agency effort. Our goal was to establish guiding citywide values for our Smart Cities work that are not specific to any bureau or bureau leadership. No one bureau owns this framework. It's owned by all of us. If adopted, Portland will be the first city to formally declare what it means to prioritize the most marginalized and vulnerable in our Smart Cities work. We know that resources are limited and there is only so much we can do, and that these projects are resource-intensive because they are often experimental, involve learning and failure. We are also overwhelmed with opportunities to partner with the private sector and academia. We will need to make choices. This framework prioritizes the people and the problems where our work will have the greatest and most meaningful impact. Cities become smart by learning. There's a long history of decisions in Portland and other cities that either intentionally or unintentionally negatively impact our most vulnerable populations. We want to learn from those mistakes, focus not on those with the most influence and means first, but on those with the least. The city will, of course, continue to pursue a variety of data and technology projects and policies. This framework simply establishes that if they are not addressing the needs of underserved and underrepresented communities, they will not be recognized as part of the city's Smart City PDX program. The next step is to work with the community on an implementation and engagement strategy. We have brought in a consultant to begin those conversations. Having this framework in place will also help us shape projects already underway and better address technologies coming at us in the short term. We need to build a long-term strategy at the same time we address what's happening now. We all recognize that smart cities is a marketing term created by the private sector to sell us stuff. This resolution is our attempt to take ownership of it, drive what it means from within, and to make it focused on people, not products. The private sector is going to continue to provide technology-related services to those who already have the most. This framework is really disruptive. It's our attempt to influence the market as the city in a way to make sure that all those benefits reach Portlanders, all Portlanders. I've been asked a couple of times what we want this program to look like in a few years and what we want the future Willamette Week cover to say. Our open data coordinator, Hector Dominguez, I think has the best response to that question. It's the street roots cover, the street roots cover that we want, he said, because that would mean we have demonstrated value to those who need us most, that we've built trust in those communities. This resolution is a significant step toward achieving that goal. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Christine Kendrick from my team, who has really done most of the heavy lifting on this framework and resolution, to get into the details of how it came together.
Thank you, Kevin. Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Christine Kendrick from Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. I'll be talking to you the content of the framework and some next steps as well. So when we look at the Portland Plan, Comp Plan, Digital Equity Action Plan, Racial Equity Toolkit, and many more, these plans clearly establish the City of Portland's commitment to equity and implementation of strategies that reduce disparities. So the Smart City PDEX Priorities Framework uses language and values from those plans, but tailored to data and technology and information strategies to set a goal, process, and criteria for centering and upholding equity in the Smart City PDEX initiative. The first section of the framework outlines a process that will guide city staff in how data integrated with community engagement will be collected and used for decision-making within Smart City PDEX projects and policies, and also decision-making for investments in future Smart City PDEX projects. Some example of this process is a commitment to engage underserved and underrepresented populations to inform data collection and also have those populations lead in identification of needs and priorities and solutions. And we know from previous work that the most detrimental disparities and persistent disparities are present or starkest when we look at race and disability. So when we say underserved and underrepresented communities, we mean an explicit and intentional focus on communities of color and communities with disabilities. And as the mayor said in his opening, when the city designs policies, programs, and practices that work for the most marginalized communities, all communities benefit. The next section of the priorities framework outlines criteria for vetting and evaluating Smart City PDEX projects, plans, and policies. So if a community partner or a private sector partner or academic partner comes to the city and proposes a project and wants city support, which could be staff time or expertise, it could be investment of funds or access to infrastructure and assets, but it does not meet the criteria outlined here, then we will not support it as a Smart City PDEX project. These criteria really help us vet the multiple and often competing opportunities that are coming our way, sometimes at a very intense pace. It will allow us to better allocate resources and coordinate and standardize our values into our decision-making process. And it also gives us a very clear starting point for evaluating our Smart City PDEX initiative projects. So really, if we think about combining the process in Section 1 and the criteria in Section 2, it starts to give us a way to filter through all those different emerging opportunities, make sure that we're focusing on our equity goals, and really being thoughtful about how we use our resources.
So I just have to comment on that that is a great lens. That is a very well-thought-out lens. And I just want to point out that this could be broadly applicable.
That's wonderful to hear. We think so, too. And the Equity Work Group, it really was a collaborative effort to come through this. Lots of discussion and how to reword it, what's the best way, how do we cover everything,
try to. That's great. Thanks.
Thank you, Mayor Riller. The last part of the framework lists 8 focus areas based on, again, existing citywide plans. And right now we're working on a strategy map project to help broaden our Smart City PDEX work beyond transportation. And part of that work is also to see where we're making connections between existing and upcoming projects across all bureaus and offices, and where are those gaps between projects and the community identified needs, and where we need to make sure we're filling in those gaps. The priorities framework has been endorsed by the Smart City Steering Committee, and as Kevin mentioned, 14 different bureaus and offices and all commissioners' offices involved in that committee. If adopted, we feel that this will create a citywide coordinated approach for deciding how and when and if to engage in work. It really also implements equity values and strategies across an entire initiative. It's not something separate or an overlay or something we do afterwards. It's really centered at the beginning of the work. And we think that embedding this thought process from the very beginning can actually spur more innovative approaches to projects and result in increased measurable community benefits. Adopting the framework is really just the first step, though. Next, we need to work with our community partners to implement and evaluate our success in meeting the framework criteria. We also need to go back and look at how we can apply the priorities framework to existing Smart City PDEX projects. If we think about the air quality testing that we have already implemented or ongoing, maybe some of the traffic safety sensors and open data, all of these can still be applied through this lens. Are we doing? How are we sharing data? Can we improve that? Can we add more iterative evaluation to it? So that will be an important next step as well. And then, of course, applying it to identify and prioritize future projects as well. And a part of that strategy map work, we're also exploring strategies to develop those community partnerships and the means to support that community involvement. One option is potentially creating an equity advisory committee, and that would help us evaluate how well we are actually doing in centering and upholding equity. But we also want to look for other types of innovative community engagement so that we're not just creating transactional engagement processes, but how do we create true partnerships and implement strategies that can be agile and responsive as community needs change and then also how technology changes quickly. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Christine. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Judith Mowry from the Office of Equity and Human Rights.
Thank you. Hello, Mayor. Hello. Commissioner Fritz, Commissioner Udaly. It has been really a great pleasure to work with this team. This project has been firmly focused on equity in a really strong way, and that's been a great pleasure to be a part of a group of committed people. The Smart City PDX Priority Framework, it's a great first step toward meeting our obligations as a city to be accountable and proactively address disparities in Smart City PDX projects, plans, and policies. With this framework, we can better prioritize projects that are driven by people's needs, such as anti-displacement projects or economic development for business owners or entrepreneurs, from communities of color, and from people living with disabilities. The cross-bureau collaboration established by the framework and implementation work ahead can help us to move on a path exploring solutions that result in paradigm shifts, create real power sharing and partnerships across community members, private sector, the local government on data and technology projects. In this work, we need to remain cognizant of how vulnerable communities may be affected by various privacy issues when it comes to a range of data types. Creating proactive privacy policies for the city will be an essential next step and connection to this framework. Creating proactive comprehensive privacy policy provides direction for considerations on implementation of everything from transportation projects to public safety projects like police body cameras. I'm excited that we are really looking at this issue in a proactive way. We want wise counsel to guide us and our thinking about it. Technology is moving way faster than we tend to, and we want to be sure that we get the greatest benefit. I'd like to make one last comment, which is to say that when we talk about people living with disabilities, we are also really talking about aging populations. It is the most common age group that you are going to find folks developing disabilities. So in our world, age and disability are often the ages of proxy for disability. So I think it also really works well within our aging Portlander framework. I think there's a smarter word for that. I know I'm one of them, but I can't remember what we're calling it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. And with that, I'm going to bring up a few more speakers just from our Bureau of Technology Services, Office for Community Technology in Multnomah County.
Welcome.
This is your afternoon, Julie.
It kind of is. So I'm going to start off this group. I'm Julie O'Malchuk, and I am with the Office for Community Technology. I also served on the Smart City Steering Committee Equity Group that came up with the framework to move forward today. The Smart Cities PDX Priorities Framework establishes commitments and criteria for city staff across all bureaus and offices to take actionable steps in line with the city's equity goals and to foster deeper collaborations and partnerships among city staff. With this policy direction from council and buy-in from all city bureaus and offices, we believe this framework will improve communications among city staff and with outside partners, leverage our city resources, including staff time and physical assets and infrastructure, and build community trust. The Office for Community Technology is excited to work collaboratively across bureaus under a unifying vision and process to better serve Portland residents. As you know, our office has a history of working with diverse populations to identify their needs around community technology, and we've leveraged public benefits related to our franchising and licensing authority to meet those needs. The city's broadband strategic plan and digital equity action plan also have public benefit-oriented goals and strategic actions designed to overcome barriers to digital access and economic opportunity. We look forward to furthering the city's internal network of information sharing around the Smart Cities work, and also developing integrated strategies that will enable us to negotiate impactful public benefits in our franchise and other utility agreements that directly address a community need. The Smart City PDX Priorities Framework is a welcome tool that will help us to design and implement community-supported solutions that are well integrated with efforts of other city bureaus and offices. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners.
Afternoon.
I'm Liz Mitchell with the Bureau of Technology Services, and I was also a member of the Equity Work Group for the Smart Cities Steering Committee. The city needs a proactive, responsive, and adaptive basis for how the city approaches and prioritizes data and technology projects associated with Smart City PDX. The priorities framework will help us move in that direction. The framework can be used to help prioritize city interests and investments in those projects and services that promote the city's equity goals. This gives us a guide for selecting investments that provide the most benefit to the community. This framework guides us away from implementing technology just for technology's sake. Instead, this is a framework for using data and technology to improve people's lives. As long as we keep that ideal ahead of us and turn that ideal into action, we'll go in the right direction for the community now and in the future.
Good afternoon. I am one of, I think, the aforementioned friends of the Smart Cities PDX framework from Multnomah County, Mary Lee. And I am, I think, the representative social worker in this group. I don't work in technology and I don't work in transportation, but I do work with people. We and my colleagues are a part of the Regional Smart Cities Initiative, and we're thrilled to be invited to the table as we, as you do this important work. The Multnomah Idea Lab is charged with finding policy and innovation in human services, not in the IT sector. And that is sort of a rare occurrence in local government. And we're also very focused on the intersections of poverty and race. So being able to be invited to this table along with all of the wonderful staff people has really been an opportunity for us to share innovation back and forth, and to support each other in figuring out the very real challenges to a racial justice agenda within local county government. In particular, the Mill has been working with the Bureau of Transportation on building our practice of human-centered design. So this is a practice that very much is used to design products and businesses, but there's also a lot of potential in using this to really engage with the community in co-creation, not a community engagement process, not a feedback process, but in true co-creation of whatever the solutions are that we are going to figure out together. We're super excited. We've just begun a 9-week learning community with our colleagues at PBOT, and we are going to practice our human-centered design techniques and then be able to bring them to bear in this conversation. We think it's incredibly wise that the group has figured out a framework and made the commitment, if adopted today, to apply that framework. I think, Mayor Wheeler, as you remarked, this has applications far beyond smart cities, and certainly that's part of what we're looking to do, is to learn from you all, frankly, and be able to bring that practice back and forth. This is one of a number of collaborations that we're working on right now with you all, and we really believe that when both jurisdictions are working together, we all benefit. The community benefits, and we all benefit. So we are in strong support of the framework. We appreciate being asked to the table, and we are looking forward to co-creating with you and the community as we roll out the implementation of this framework. So thanks.
Great. Fantastic. Commissioner Fritz.
Can you tell me how it came to be that you were invited? I'm not that I think it's great that you were, but we don't. That's not generally the practice. So
right?
How did that come about?
Well, I think actually the people at the table started to ask themselves, how might we approach and engage with the community in some different ways. I think all of us who work for local government understand there are real challenges to the ways we do community engagement now, and I include the county absolutely in that. And I think my colleagues said to themselves, how might we be better, do different, in order to get to a different result?
Yeah.
Right? And so then through a variety of conversations, I have to say it was very funny. We walked into one meeting, and it was all data, technology, computer folks. And my colleague and I walked in, and we're like, we're here for the smart cities conversation. And we're like, we want to talk about what people need, and we want to talk. And everyone looked at us and said, you know this is the data and technology work group, don't you?
Yeah.
And we had nothing to add, right, at that point. But that is emblematic of what I think the opportunity is here, right? So we are thinking differently about smart cities and how that might intersect with our goals around economic justice, racial justice, housing, and the things that the county does. And I think your staff are thinking differently about how they might engage in a collaboration with the communities.
That's fabulous, and thank you for being willing to walk into a room full of data geeks and hold your own.
It's a classic.
Well, and when I look at the 8 focus areas which come out of the Portland plan and the comprehensive plan, of course they should be asking the county, we should be asking the county about human health, environmental health, all of these things are our joint.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in many ways it verifies that making the comprehensive plan more than just a land use and transportation document, but more of a what is Portland and the Portland area going to become, has led to this kind of collaboration. So I really appreciate your being here today and your participation.
Thanks for including us.
Very good. Thank you. All right. So with that, is there any public testimony on this item?
Mayor, there is an amendment I believe you have.
An amendment that I have. What? In my binder. Hang on. Let me find the amendment.
It's a replacement Exhibit A.
Oh, I've got it. I moved the replacement Exhibit A.
Second.
Well, I got beat to the punch on that.
And you know what? This actually addresses something that I brought to the committee's attention. I'm pretty excited about it. And thank you. Shows that I didn't read my binder before either, Mayor. It previously said the goal was to use data to address inequities and disparities through investing in technology-driven projects that improve people's lives.
My God, that's a brilliant idea.
Well, yes, and like Ms. Lee just said, are we talking about the people or are we talking about the data? So the new goal is, the City of Portland Smart City PDX initiative goal is to address inequities and disparities using data and investing in technology-driven projects that improve people's lives.
A better idea.
Thank you.
Is that a motion?
It was. I moved it and Commissioner Daly was against.
All right, good. Let's call the roll on the amendment.
You Daly?
Aye.
Fritz.
I don't know why I'm astonished when people actually listen to something I've suggested and do it, but you've made my week, never mind my day. Thank you very much. Aye.
Wheeler.
I think it's a brilliant amendment. I strongly support it, and Mary Lee, we're thrilled to have you here and be part of this. And you're right, this technology, it's not really a technology discussion. It's a people discussion. It's about the outcomes that our public wants and expects from us. And the question, therefore, is what technologies and what policies actually help us address the needs of the people in our community. So I strongly support Commissioner Fritz's amendment. I think it's great. I vote aye. The amendment's adopted.
Thank you. I do actually want to point out, too, that there were 2 other pieces to this amendment to the exhibit, and that is addressing what Judith Mowry said in terms of privacy. And I didn't think of that one. Whoever did is brilliant, and I think that's another really good addition.
Great. And public testimony. Good afternoon. Do we just have the one?
Yes.
Where would we be without you today?
Charles Richgray Johnson, and perfect presentation, but since Mary Lee came across the river, I'll make one small mansplaining attack. She talked about walking into the room of data geeks, and she had nothing to add. Those were bad data geeks. The only thing that matters is UX, user experience. The way data geeks create good user experience is talking to end users like Mary Lee and myself. So the experience is, you know, especially with the amendment, we're talking about data as a tool to improve quality of life for everybody in Portland. So one thing we're going to have to change is when you go to portlandoregon.gov/smart, none of your pictures come up. It just takes you to Smart Park. We need something better. There's some other good shortcuts. You know, your last names work to take people to contact with their commissioners. But when you go to portlandoregon.gov/smart, there should be a page that lets people choose between cars or this, Smart City PDX. And that's, you know, there's some other things that could be shortened up there. I noticed it was great. I think the table where we had the Bureau of Technology Services, we're doing great with diversity. We're running neck and neck with Nike. We had to look them up earlier. Their general counsel, not a man. So progress is being made here in the metro area. And but I don't want to... All the carless people in TriMet don't want to go to portlandoregon.gov/smart and find out about parking. We want to find about Smart City PDX. Y'all have reserved the Twitter. The other thing you might want to do is smartestcity.org or smartestcity.com should probably redirect to portlandoregon.gov. Thank you.
Very good. Good suggestion.
That's a really good suggestion. That's one of the most helpful mansplaining I've heard for quite some time.
I didn't feel mansplained to it at all.
So, you know, sometimes we overcome our genetics.
You know, I was actually more worried when he got to the part about how when you Google Smart Portland, our picture doesn't come. I thought there was going to be a joke or a punchline coming there. So
I'm
glad it was actually a good suggestion. So with that, any further questions, colleagues? Let's go ahead and call the roll on the main resolution as amended.
Udaley.
Well, thank you to the steering committee and for everyone that presented today. This is an exciting conversation, and I'm particularly happy to see someone here from the county today. I serve as second chair on the joint office of A Home for Everyone, and without going into too much detail, I see a lot of opportunities for greater collaboration between the city and the county. And I began to wonder who are the counterparts that kind of would complement the bureaus that I have. And the next day, I ran into a woman from the Office of Community Involvement at the county. And I said, we should talk. So we're going to talk. This is fantastic. I vote aye.
Thank you very much to everybody who's done such a lot of work. And I want to particularly call out the members of the Equity Work Group who have really foundational to this framework, Christine Kendrick and Ingrid Fish from the Planning Sustainability, Liz Mitchell from Technology Services. Thank you for being here today. Janine Gates on my staff is ill today, but she has been really foundational in asking the right questions and helping to form this. Rebecca Gibbons and Julia Melchuk from the Office for Community Technology, Judith Mary, Office of Equity and Human Rights, and Zan Gibbs in the Bureau of Transportation. So those are the folks who have done a lot of this work, and it's a framework which now, as the mayor said, everybody can and should use. And so this is a good way to be the last agenda item of a somewhat tiring week. Aye.
Wheeler.
Well, this was. It was a prolific week, and I think this item ties it all together neatly. The city is changing. Technologies are changing. This now gives us the beginning of a platform for helping us to evaluate new technologies, uses of information, how we prioritize those technologies, and how we really use them to support the community, particularly through an equity lens, and both identifying and supporting communities that have historically been left behind. And those are, of course, communities of color and people with disabilities and others. And this framework puts Portland in the lead of cities that are addressing these issues. And so I'm really proud of the collaboration that's been brought here today. It's built on a foundation of work that's been undertaken for some time, and I particularly want to shout out my friend and Chief of Staff, Maurice Henderson. He'll be going on to bigger and better, but he spent a tremendous amount of time in his previous role working on the U.S. Department of Transportation Smart Cities Challenge on behalf of the City of Portland, and he's certainly helped lead my office's engagement around this subject. And as my colleagues have indicated, there have been so many people at the city, at the county, in the community at large who've had a hand in this, and all of our presenters today were really fantastic in helping to reflect those different perspectives and different communities, and it goes much broader than that. And again, with this framework, this is really only the beginning. This is the foundation upon which we are going to build a much larger community engagement, and it'll help us focus, which will be a fabulous thing. So great way to end the week. Thank you, everybody who worked so hard on this. I vote aye. The resolution is adopted as amended. And we're adjourned.